President Donald Trump has pardoned more than 75 people involved in the effort to overturn his 2020 election loss, and that includes some attorneys and false electors from Wisconsin. It's Tuesday, November 11th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Republican Senator Ron Johnson says another government shutdown could be just months away. And we'll hear from a former state archaeologist about Wisconsin's effigy mounds. Stay with us.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Some Wisconsin Republicans were on a list of presidential pardons posted to social media late Sunday night. As Anjavan Wagtendonk reports, so were two attorneys who allegedly used Wisconsin as a testing ground for trying to overthrow an election.
Attorneys Kenneth Chesbro and Jim Troupas developed a plan for swing states to send alternate electors to Congress, allegedly in an effort to overturn President Donald Trump's 2020 election loss. Chesbro and Troupas were among 77 names on a list of pardons tied to that effort. So were some of the false Republican electors who signed official-looking documentation saying Trump won Wisconsin, when in fact he had narrowly lost to former President Joe Biden. Barry Burden directs the Elections Research Center at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He said the pardons are a signal.
He's saying, essentially, if you have my back in defending whatever allegations I make about an election, I will be with you.
Chesbro and Troupas have been charged with a felony in Wisconsin. Federal pardons do not affect state cases. Anjavan Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
An end to the record-breaking government shutdown is in sight, but Wisconsin Senators Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin are split on the U.S. Senate deal that got us here. A handful of Senate Democrats cut a deal with Republicans on Sunday, which started the process toward a short-term government funding package. Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin opposed it. She says that's because it does not include an extension of tax credits aimed at keeping Affordable Care Act health insurance premiums from spiking. Republican Senator Ron Johnson told WPR's Wisconsin Today there needs to be a long-term solution to prevent another shutdown next year.
It's obvious that this shutdown is going to end, which is a good thing. It is kicking the can down the road. You know, what's going to happen on February 1st when this continuing resolution runs out, which is why I continue to promote the Eliminate Shutdowns Act.
Johnson's bill would continue prior federal funding levels for 2 weeks if Congress cannot agree on a budget bill. It's been rejected twice in the past. Governor Tony Evers called the Trump administration's efforts to claw back food assistance payments, quote, embarrassing. As Hope Kerwin reports, the governor addressed the ongoing fight over benefits while in lacrosse yesterday.
Wisconsinites received their November food assistance payments last week after a judge ruled the Trump administration could not withhold the program's funding. But that order was temporarily blocked on Friday. Federal officials have since directed states like Wisconsin to undo the payments. While visiting a lacrosse food pantry, Evers claimed the president has no authority to take back benefits that were issued under the previous order.
That's embarrassing for any president of the United States, whether it's Donald Trump or somebody else, to be clawing something back that they, first of all, they know it's their obligation.
Nearly 700,000 state residents received the aid, which is known as Food Share in Wisconsin. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Greenfield Police Chief Jay Johnson is facing a felony misconduct charge. He allegedly directed members of his department to place a surveillance camera outside of his home last year. That's according to a criminal complaint filed in Milwaukee County. Prosecutors say the 58-year-old did so as he was going through a divorce and seeking a restraining order against his wife. The criminal complaint says the city attorney advised Johnson against using the camera. He was in court yesterday for his initial appearance. His attorney, Jacob Mannion, said Johnson had the camera placed outside of his home because the mayor said he could do so during a phone conversation last year.
At no point was that authorization to use the camera rescinded or revoked. The city attorney may have offered his opinion that it was a bad idea. Every day, people don't listen to their lawyers, believe me.
Johnson faces up to 3.5 years in prison. Dozens of flights were canceled or delayed at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport yesterday. SF ConquestWare reports this comes days after the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration cut flights at 40 airports nationwide.
Though no Wisconsin airports were directly impacted by the flight cuts, some travelers are still feeling its effects. Anthony Rajkoff and his partner were stuck in Milwaukee for 36 hours. They visited Wisconsin for a convention and were eager to get back to New York City. After a night in a nearby hotel, Rajkoff said he wants his money back.
They didn't compensate us for the flight mainly. They basically just said, oh, because the government's doing it, we can't do anything. I mean, we practically had to stay the whole night. So my question is, why?
As of Monday afternoon, there were nearly 2,200 cancellations nationwide. Steph ConquestWare, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a conversation with the author of a new book on Wisconsin's ancient effigy mounds. Stay with us.
Your place for independent journalism.
Utah has a new law which restricts which bathrooms or changing rooms transgender people may.
It's easy to pass southward into Mexico.
Do we go through the turnstile or straight?
What's hard is entering the United States.
That's Maha Hamdan speaking to NPR's producer in Gaza, Anas Baba. He spoke to her after last night's heavy bombardment.
Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Weekdays on WPR News.
And finally, Wisconsin is home to thousands of effigy mounds, ancient earthen monuments built by Native Americans more than 1,000 years ago. Former state archaeologist Robert Birmingham calls them a spectacular phenomenon. He's out with a new book called Ancient Effigy Mound Landscapes of Upper Midwestern North America. It's co-authored with Amy Rosebrough, the current state archaeologist. Birmingham spoke with Rob Ferret on WPR's Wisconsin Today.
You are interested in all kinds of mounds. This book focuses on the effigy mounds, though. What do we mean by effigy mound?
An effigy mound is an ancient Native American burial mound made of earth that was shaped in the form of natural animals, for example, bears, canines of various sorts, but also supernatural beings that are important to a Native people even today. Spirit beings like thunderbirds that create thunder. They're associated with storms and lightning flashes out of their eyes, but they're very good to human beings and so on. Another supernatural being very common in Wisconsin and other places is a long-tailed water spirit, is what the Ho-Chunk call them. The Menominee call him a great underground water panther. They inhabit lakes and rivers, and they're conceived of having a panther-like body with a very long tail and horns. That is also a common effigy mound form here in southern Wisconsin.
And that's one of the fascinating things in the book. You look into the minds, to the extent we can, of the people who made these mounds and the spiritual view of the world. You have earth animals, water animals, or spirits, like the water spirit you're talking about, and then birds, of course, figure very prominently. And that's a worldview being expressed in these mounds.
Exactly so. The approach we take, and it's an approach that's only been around for a little while among archaeologists who are focused on data and artifacts and things like that. And the approach is called an ideological approach in that it takes into account worldview and the religious beliefs of the people involved in certain phenomena like effigy mounds. Now, we're often talking about these mounds as a comprising landscapes. Some mound groups are huge, and these landscapes are what we would call cultural or sacred or symbolic landscapes, with the caveat that when I say symbolic, again, we're not talking about sculptures, but in fact, these forms are the actual spirits in the minds of the people. So it does require us to think as much as we can like the ancient native people. And that information is accessible, of course, because native people are still among with us, you know. And for example, among the Ho-Chunk, we have clans that are Thunderbird, Water Spirit, Bears, the same forms that we see in the past. So that information is not guesswork.
You just mentioned the Bear Clan. Last year, we talked to Richie and Casey Brown from the Bear Clan of the Ho-Chunk Nation. They've been surveying and marking mounds around the state together for decades. Here's a little of what the son, Casey, had to say about his view of the mounds.
All these mounds are going to be very different through the year, and it's just interesting to look at it from a different way where it's not necessarily just fully based on the archaeology, but also the indigenous perspective and, you know, how people are affected by them, both native and non-native.
That's something that archaeologists have been doing, not since the beginning of looking at these mounds, but for some time now, trying to get that perspective from people like Casey.
Yes, exactly right. And again, it does involve in immersing ourselves into a worldview that is different from most archaeologists.
That was former state archaeologist Robert Birmingham on his new book, Ancient Effigy Mound Landscapes of Upper Midwestern North America. You can hear the full interview at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. And we'll end with a quick check of your forecasts. Some light snow in central and eastern Wisconsin to start the day. Eventually mostly cloudy across the state today with highs in the 30s and 40s. Pretty windy as well with gusts up near 20 miles per hour at times. Clear in the south and cloudy in the north overnight with a chance for a few flurries. Lows down into the 20s and 30s. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening now. We love hearing your feedback, and it helps other people find the show as well. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.